I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
It's a measure of our current mores that we base an economy on a credit plan. We do things on time, so to speak. Purchase the item, use it while you're paying it off. And this sets up the intriguing premise of this painting, in which the faith between seller and buyer is the ultimate. It's called Die Now, Pay Later.
We're back again with colorist Skip Martin of Universal Digital Services talking about the creation and restoration of a lost episode for Universal's Season 3 DVD release of Rod Serling's classic 1970s horror TV series, Night Gallery. To see video examples of the restoration and to find out more about Universal's Night Gallery Season 3 DVD set, visit tvtimemachine.com. That's tvtimemachine.com. Well, what did we do? What were we doing?
Well,
what were we trying to create?
Well, my interpretation, at least the way it was brought to me, I got a call from this crazy dude, Jim Benson, and he says, you know, and at the time, the hard part was describing to other people what it was, because I didn't fully understand. I got it, because the oddity of what Night Gallery is, and Night Gallery will always be this strange, unusual creature that is just odd. It's unique unto itself. It's not only an anthology show, but it's an anthology show that every week could have any length of anything. It could have a 5-minute, a 2-minute, a 10-minute, a 20-minute. And so the vignettes, the individual stories, were unusual lengths. Well, you told me early on that we had four vignettes that were being worked on for whatever purposes. Even I was kind of, you know, not totally sure what you were doing in the beginning. It was like we're remastering four vignettes for some reason. Some of it's lost, or some of it's truncated, some of it's edited. Obviously, I found out later what really happened in regards to the syndication and how it had been either lengthened or shortened throughout the entire crazy process that is Night Gallery. So when it came to me, it was we were simply taking four vignettes to the purest form, closest as possible to the original intended scripts or creative people involved, and you guys knew what that, however you guys knew. You knew.
Because we're crazy. That's how we knew.
You guys knew how this stuff was supposed to look. And so my job and all of our job at Universal was to try and figure out this amazing, this mess, which it sounds much more complicated than it really was. It was complicated in a way. But it wasn't that bad. It's more complicated to talk about than it was to
Well, the difficulty with the history of Night Gallery is the fact that, like you said, the different segments were varying lengths.
Yeah.
Because they were interchangeable in a sense, to make Night Gallery viable for syndication, they took the hour-long network episodes, which had all the different segments, and then they chopped them up. And they chopped them up, and they put the different segments together to create half-hour episodes for syndication to expand the syndication package to 97 half-hours, because generally speaking, you need about 100 episodes to make any TV show viable in syndication. At least that's the way it was back in the early 70s. So in order to meet that half-hour criteria, they would take some of the shorter segments and lengthen them with footage from other TV shows and other movies that had no relation to Night Gallery at all. Or they would take some of the longer segments, like a 40-minute segment, and edit them down to 25 minutes. So what we were doing with the four vignettes in question was we were taking the segments that had been heretofore expanded, and we were reducing them to their original length, or the ones that had been cut, we were expanding them to their original length.
It's so funny that either or, padding something out unnecessarily or cutting it down unnecessarily, it's like they're both terrible ideas.
Well,
both horrible.
Well, what makes it even more complicated was the fact that sometimes the episodes were originally cut for their network run. So there was unaired footage that we wanted to reinstate. And that's what we did in the case of the segment called Little Girl Lost. But what made that even more complicated was we were working from the syndication segment, which had superfluous footage, which expanded it to 25 minutes for syndication because it wasn't originally 25 minutes.
See, isn't that easy? It's easy. Yeah. No problem.
So it's like advanced trigonometry. I mean, there are so many different mathematical elements here, and that's what made it so complicated.
Well, what I find ironic is, as difficult as it sounds, the real difficulty was explaining it to my people.
Right.
Explaining to, because I've remastered a lot of shows. I've remastered for a while there, that's all I did. I remastered Magnum, all the Law and Orders, Rockford Files, Murder, She Wrote, Get Christy Love, The Virginian, Wagon Train, Bionic Woman, Quincy. And when you do remastering, there is a very basic workflow. Remastering television shows is, we've been doing it for a long time. You cannot call this in any way a typical way of doing it. And so the most common question I would get asked, whether it was from Julie or whether it was from my people, Kip Sears, Ron Silvera, Katia Kramer, everyone asking, well, how long is it going to take? Well, and, because everyone needs to budget it out, how long is this crazy thing going to take? And I had to, give the most honest answer I could, because if I said X amount of hours, and it was very easy to be wrong. But really, there was no way to know until we saw what we had. We didn't know. We kept calling the vault. John Caldwell kept bringing me rolls and rolls of film and mag, and we had to keep sifting through it and find out what did we have. And once we found out what we had, I was able to rather accurately tell them, okay, we have what we need. It's going to take this amount. Here's the budget. And that's when they said, oh, okay. But it was still, to get to that stage was weeks until we got all the media there, and we still kept calling for more media. More film, more audio, more film, more audio. A little more, a little thing over here, a little snippet over there. And so that was the hard part, was getting everything and getting all the puzzle pieces together. Once the puzzle pieces were there, spread out on the floor, then it was, okay, where do I go, Jim?
Right, like you say, we were dealing with different film formats. We were dealing with 35 millimeter. We were dealing with 16 millimeter.
Yeah. But once we had it, it really, that was the funny part. Even once we had everything we needed to do, it was still an unconventional process. Because typically it would go through many people. But in this case, they just said, Skip, you do it all. Now, I didn't do everything.
Well, you ended up editing.
I was editing it, yes.
Right.
And
now, that usually is not in your job description.
I've edited before, mm-hmm. but this is absolutely something they never asked me to do. and they asked me. That was the very funny part, because it came down to, wait a minute. Is there editing involved? Yes. Well, who's going to do that? Me.
You.
And they said, why are you doing it? Well, are we really going to, am I going to thrust this onto someone else? I mean, at least I have a semblance of what's going on. Just let me do it. We'll figure it out. And we did. And that was a lot of fun, sitting there with you and Scott and going through and, okay, we got all the footage and let's put it together. And we thought that was going to be a pretty difficult process. But you guys really did know where everything was. So
I think it took about 2.5-3 hours.
2.5-3 hours. Yeah. It was nothing. Yeah. That was the easy part of it. Oh,
and
wow.
that was strange, because Scott had come all the way down from Oregon for this.
Yes, he did.
For 3 hours of work, basically.
Yeah, but that whole process.
But again, we didn't know it could have taken 3 days.
We didn't know. Yeah. We didn't know. And that was the hard part, getting across it. But, well, we think it should be pretty easy. And sure enough, it was. So that all worked out. And even when we did get caught up in a couple places, we found ways to make it work. And so it did work. And ultimately, what you guys were asking for, we were able to mostly deliver. The only thing that you are still kicking yourself, you're never going to be able to watch it without, cursing yourself, going, I really wish we can get rid of that cat.
Exactly.
And that was the one thing you were disappointed in. Other than that, everything you guys asked for, we were able to do. But, you know, the cat doesn't ruin the episode.
Yeah, well, you're referring to the cat that's in Die Now, Pay Later, the segment Die Now, Pay Later. And that cat footage is actually not original footage. That was specifically shot for syndication, again, to expand the episode beyond its original length.
You guys went to every length to get as much of that cat out of there. And the only way we could get more of the cat out of there was to actually cut dialogue.
Which we did not do.
We refused to do that, so we left a little cat in there. So a little cat goes a long way.
I think you already mentioned several surprises that you confronted in this project. But what is the thing that surprised you the most?
Surprised me the most.
Could it be just how complicated it was?
No. We knew going in it was going to be complicated, so that wasn't a surprise. We knew matching the different elements was going to be complicated. I would say if there's any surprise for me, the worker bee who had to sit there and put it together, the surprise was how difficult it was to keep everybody else who wasn't us appraised, and to try to keep people in the loop. Okay, how's it going? Well, so what are you doing now? Oh, well, you got a minute? So the hard part was, you know, because we were doing something so unusual, calming everybody down. Don't worry, it'll work. So the surprise was, you know, just trying to keep everything on track. Everything else we knew the complexity going in. So that honestly wasn't a surprise. No, the surprise was the idea that you came up with to turn it into an episode. That was a surprise. I thought it was going to be four separate vignettes. That's it, done and over. When you came up with the idea of, no, let's make it a lost episode. And the bumper was a big surprise. That was funny. Because I would find a little thing. Hey, there's this you were on the phone, I think, when you said, have you seen anything unusual? Keep an eye out for anything unusual.
Right.
I said unusual. But it's just programs and bumpers. Bumpers? You saw a bumper? Yeah. Why? No, we need that. You saved that bumper. Oh, okay. The bumper was a big deal. So that was a surprise. And then I'm like, well, if he loves the bumper, I got to let him know I got just a shot of Rod Serling in front of a slate.
Yeah,
and you're like, yes, oh, save it. Save it. We want that. And so those were cute little surprises.
What you're referring to is there's a slate shot where they have the clapper.
Yes, because that was one element that was separate. It didn't even have its opticals on it. That was for Die Now, Pay Later, I believe. And so Rod was standing there waiting, and then Slate came in and they clapped it. No big deal, but it was a piece of cool
history.
Little footage.
History.
Cool little piece. Yeah. It was a cool little piece of footage. That was fun. That was cool. That, as far as surprises go, that would be pretty much it. Oh, no. The biggest surprise. Okay, I may be letting too much of the cat out of the bag, and if I am, I apologize. My biggest surprise in the project was we had used up all of our time trying to match and color and edit, and we didn't have a whole lot of time for dirt removal at the end. And so when it went to the dirt removal, the DRS department, I thought, well, they're not going to have very much time at all. And, at least it's cut together and it's going to, at least it's going to be complete. It just won't be very clean. No, the DRS department did a beautiful job cleaning that up. I was thrilled at how clean the final looks. So for me personally, my biggest surprise was I thought we used up all the time in color correction. We weren't going to have any time left over to clean it. And no, they did an absolutely stellar job. So that's my surprise personally.
I'm particularly proud of the fact that we made, in essence, television history and DVD history, because nothing like this has ever been done before, where you take a TV show and you create a new episode of that TV show 40 years later.
That was fun. We really were putting it together as a show. You chose the opening that you wanted that was generic, as if a syndication, so we didn't have the eyeball with the actors or anything like that. But then you had your bumper, which was not seen anywhere else except in the Lost episodes. So that's kind of cool. So now I can say, hey, you like that bumper?
I did that bumper.
How do you know?
I know.
Because it doesn't survive anywhere else. But then you wanted to go the extra mile and actually wanted to give it proper credits. And we actually went to great lengths to make sure that the end credit sequence was correct and that it actually applied to the show you were watching. You knew the font off the top of your head, what the night got. Well, I don't know if we're going to have that font. I wonder what it is. Off the top of your head, you went, you mean this one?
Ad-lib. Yeah, ad-lib font.
Yeah, see? See what I mean? And it was like, I called over to the character generator department and said, hey, again, do we have the ad-lib font?
Yes, we do.
And so it was funny that, you know, in the end, we really did create an episode. And now having gotten mine in the mail, I've gotten to see it, and you can choose to just watch the vignettes or hit play and watch them all, and you're essentially watching a show. It's pretty trippy, kind of cool.
We're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear, I'll be back in a lightning flash with Skip Martin of Universal Studios Digital Services right here on the TV Time Machine. To see video examples of the restoration and to find out more about Universal's Night Gallery Season 3 DVD set, visit TVTimeMachine.com. That's TVTimeMachine.com.